The topic of my today's sermonette is to be spiritually minded. In there, I will quote why we as true Christians have to manifest this spiritual attitude. Likewise, I will reveal that only so we can be a light towards other people. This spiritual conduct includes a great reward from God, but I will come to this a little bit later. But first, I would like to expose who our opponent in this matter is. Of course, it is Satan, the enemy, who always tries to tempt us, but I don't want to go into details with him. Today, I want to talk about our own flesh, about our own nature. When we as true Christians decide to go the one and only way and let ourselves be baptized, we bury the old human, the old we have been before. But he, our old self, will try to come back up again and again. It is a battle in us, the flesh and the spirit. It is a battle between anxiety and peace, between fear and faith, and at the end, death and life. We who participate on this godly Feast of Tabernacles agree in this point, that we all want to have peace, inside just like outside. Well, the Bible tells us that true Christians will not be spared from problems and worries. We have to become aware of this fact that in every situation anything can disturb and upset us. But we also read that God always delivers us, just like you can read in Psalm 34, verse 19. God gives us a force, a mighty force, with which we can go through every problem and trial and still have peace. It is His Spirit, because we read in John 4, verse 24, that God is Spirit. He also tells us that He takes residence in us when we live by His laws. So if we want to have peace, faith, and life, we have to be richly fulfilled of His Spirit. We all have been witnesses that in certain situations we have not behaved properly. That means we have not allayed the situation, but rather inflamed strife and discord, or even hurt somebody with what we have said or what we have done. Something just drove us. We apparently did not think about it and followed our nature. Let us go together in Galatians 5, verses 19 till 21, to see where our own nature is leading us and what fruit is coming with it. Galatians 5, the verses 19 till 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. After all these things strives the nature of a human, and no matter in what measurement, it desires after all those attributes. So we also see that death is the end of our fleshly nature, attended by strife, fear, and hate. Perhaps we have satisfied our fleeting pleasure of the flesh for the moment, but reap all the negative things which we try to escape from. We can only escape out of this all if we are spiritually minded, orientate towards God, and kill the works of the flesh. Let us read together Galatians 5, verse 22. To see what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So now we keep the commandments of God, and if we behave like this, we have all that we long for. But the flesh is fighting against the Spirit, which is why we must always be attentive and not just let ourselves drift. We have a great responsibility as a Christian for ourselves to achieve the salvation, but also for other people with whom we come into contact or even live, as well as the family or the spouse. We have to make sure that we bring fruit through our constant change to adapt our character and our nature more and more to God, to grow in faith and to trust in God, as well as in love, meekness, and all the qualities we have just read in Galatians. God has called us out of the old life of sin and called us to be saints, to walk through a holy walk and a holy way. But what also peace, protection, blessing, and in the end, the eternal life has to reward. So we should do our utmost to lead a God-willed life and allow His Spirit to grow within us. At the baptism, God forgave us our sins of the old man. Nevertheless, we did not automatically secure salvation after baptism. We can fall, become sluggish, or bring no fruit. We could develop an attitude of indifference towards God and the way while living in the world out there. Therefore, it is so important to take God and His Word as seriously as with love and the interest with which we have begun. Let us now read together Colossians 3, verses 5 to 14. Colossians 3, verses 5 to 14. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language in your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We recognize that we are to kill our flesh with all its qualities. The sin, here even described with idolatry, we must suffocate it in the germ, in order not to load the rage of God on us. Even if someone sins against us and does us wrong, we are to forgive him, for we have just read, Christ forgave us. Personally, it helps me a lot to think about it in everyday life, to get over it quickly. If we forgive someone and are so in peace from our side with him, we can give him a much better, wise, and spiritually minded answer and pacified progress. We can also help our brothers and sisters in church when we are spiritually minded, in which we patiently and lovingly build one another up with helping and consolation. Fellow men as colleagues, friends, acquaintances, and even life partner whom we have previously given snippy, hasty answers should perceive through our transformation and our new behavior harmonious change. To be spiritually minded does not mean we must now tolerate everything and have to swallow everything. Of course, we must always remain respectful and peaceful, but we should have a healthy self-confidence by the Spirit of God in order to meet and respond in a reasonable and wise way to others, but not as before, unwise, hasty, and without love, because with our previous attitude we have often offended, humiliated, and hurted our fellow human beings, often simply not helped, just as we should have done it as Christ's successors. When problems, emergency situations, and tribulation come into our lives, no matter what form, we can still have peace in our minds. When we trust God exactly in such situations and rely on Him, He gets us out of these situations according to His perfect will. Of course, it is not always easy, but we must overcome and remind ourselves that the Spirit has been given us as a comforter, as peace at those times, and as a weapon against all problems, worries, needs, and attacks. For example, if we are in a financial bottleneck, we should not pursue the fear of the flesh, despair, and become distraught. We should trust in God, keep a spiritual mind, and keep calm. God brings us out of everything after His perfect time. This example can be applied to everything. We must always try to remain focused, to call God, and learn to trust, because that's what He wants from us. If we now miss the bus, for example, because we stayed awake in the evening too long and therefore did not hear the alarm clock, then in such situations we should think about why this is happening to us. If we have realized it, we should take the fault to heart and try to do the right thing in future. Each of us knows such examples. This belongs to the spirit mind change of life, that we realize where we are missing and change this now. Let us read Matthew 3 together, verse 10. Matthew 3, verse 10. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is to cut down and thrown into fire. That is why it's so important that we also bear fruit in our transformation. Let us open John 15, verses 16 to 17. John 15, verses 16 till 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, and then you love one another. The love of God, the love of one another, and the keeping of the commandments go hand in hand. and are a part of the progress of growth of the Spirit. Let us see what the difference between the old sinful man and the obedient new man is in Malachi 3, verses 16 till 18. Malachi 3, verses 16 till 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So we see here that God makes a clear difference between a righteous and an unrighteous man. The goal of all of us is clearly the seizing of eternal life. So it is important to build on the Spirit which was given to us by God to be diligent and fruitful. Let us read Galatians 6, verse 8 till 10. Galatians 6, verse 8 till 10. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows on the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We must get ourselves together and go the way which is for us, to be for good and for peace. Likewise, we must have love among ourselves, for without them we know we are nothing. Finally, let us now read Romans 5, the verses 5 till 11. Romans 5, the verses 5 till 11. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We must be clear that this is really not a game, and that we have only two options. One, the easy, weak nature of our flesh, and two, the overcoming Spirit of God, which is stronger than any temptation of human nature. But we have to choose the right one. The flesh has the short-lasting, selfish satisfaction, which then also has consequences in form of punishment, suffering, and at the end, death. The mind, in turn, has blessing, strength, peace, and then eternal life. So let us attempt to become strong and to walk in the Spirit, so that we are worthy of our incredible and wonderful calling.